Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine, and today we're taking a little bit of a different turn than what I'm used to on my interviews. This is really exciting and it's in our backyard. I'm talking about fashion. Fashion is, I don't think, something that we always associate St. Louis with, but we're getting there. And I have two wonderful guests that are going to tell us about that. First of all, good morning to Tanya and good morning to Ruben.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are going to talk about the St. Louis Fashion Fund throughout the next 30 minutes. And Ruben, you are a part of this as a designer, and we're going to talk about that. But Tanya, let's start with you and your role with the St. Louis Fashion Fund and the mission and the overview. And let's educate our listeners today about how St. Louis is growing with fashion.
Sure. Thank you. And thanks for having us here today, Jill. As many of you know, or your audience may know, fashion in St. Louis goes way back. It was certainly one of the leading manufacturers up until World War II in manufacturing. You know, in the city, there were shoes, there were furs. They engineered the junior movement, the junior clothing movement. And in that time, it was really, I mean, annually was bringing in about $147 million to the economy. So today that would be $2.2 billion.
Well, how come? Well, maybe you're going to answer this.
Yeah.
Because I just don't ever associate St. Louis with fashion. But you're probably going to get to that. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to interrupt anymore.
So
maybe.
We have a history of fashion in the garment district in downtown St. Louis. And in 2014, myself, Susan Sherman, our chair, and a very strong board got together and created the St. Louis Fashion Fund. With this history in mind, with the thought that we wanted to also help revitalize the garment district. And so with a board of 42, our mission has always been to promote or to support emerging designers and to promote education and outreach, both locally, regionally, nationally. And our signature project is the St. Louis Fashion Incubator. So we knew we wanted to open an incubator to support emerging designers to help build their businesses. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Of this amazing class of young designers who moved from all over the country. But we haven't done this alone. We've had incredible help from many of our top civic organizations, including City of St. Louis, Downtown St. Louis, St. Louis Development Corporation, St. Louis Regional Chamber. And we built out this amazing 7,500 square foot space on 1533 Washington Avenue, where we have a technology and cut and sew operation on the top floor, the designers' offices and staff on the first floor, and then a showroom or retail space on the first floor.
Okay, so I'm born and raised in St. Louis, and I feel either neglected or naive, or what is the word I'm looking for? The garment district. I don't know anything about the garment district in St. Louis.
So it was about, I think, 13 city blocks. I feel like I have it in my blood because my grandmother was an immigrant and came over from Kiev and worked on the garment district. I don't know where, but she was a head seamstress in the garment district at the time. My grandfather was a presser. Great-grandfather was a presser. And so there was this constant buzz up and down. You can still see, obviously, where the tracks are in the middle of Washington, where a streetcar, when we say light up the zipper, looks like a zipper in clothing. But they were manufacturing, like I said, furs and hats and shoes was huge here. You know, hence Caleres, Brown Shoe. They also started cutting clothes to fit younger women, as I say, the juniors movement. And this all dried up in about 1980.
Okay, so it's not unusual for you to hear someone like me to say, I don't know anything about this.
Absolutely.
Got
We're
it.
Uncovering that part of that rich part of our history.
This is exciting. I mean, this is something that's just going to be taking off then. I mean, we are in the beginning stages of this.
Absolutely.
And I think our city needs something like this right now. I mean, we need something that we're noted for on a positive note instead of some of the negativity that comes out of this city. And fashion. Ah. What a great way to do it. So, Tanya, you said that this has been in your blood, that this is something from your ancestors that got you into this. But specifically, what led you to say, okay, this is what I want to do and why I want to do it?
Well, I think there are several reasons, and sometimes it's just opportunity and timing. I was a marketing director at Saks Fifth Avenue. I started this simultaneously with the other founders. I have always had a passion for emerging talent. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm a kind of a truffle pig for talent for young designers. And I am first and foremost a consumer. So I think all of these things, like, and also then having the history, knew that this was something that our city was ripe for. You know, it's really a feel good story, but at the end of the day, it's an all about supporting talent, but it is also about bringing stimulus and economy to the city and training people. And we have this foreign-born population here, and you know, we're looking at ways to really redevelop that area and make it vital again. And most importantly, I think, you know, it's, I mean, I'm not getting any younger, it's recruiting a creative class to St. Louis, you know, this next generation of creative talent to come and be here and make the city a better place to live in.
So I guess I want to loop Ruben in now. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where to loop you in. I mean, there's a lot for you to talk about, too. I have a lot for both of you to talk about. But you are a designer, and you're part of this mission. You're part of what's helping build St. Louis. So give us your background and how you ended up here, or how you were discovered, so to speak.
Background about me coming here. I was living in New York City. Brooklyn, New York is where the brand was founded. The brand is called Domestic, spelled a phonetical way of spelling the word domestic. And the reason why I named it Domestic was about domestic production in New York City. I was a huge advocate for the garment district in New York. So we produced and manufactured everything in New York City. All of our patterns were made in New York. We purchased fabric from New York vendors. So I wanted to pay homage to the history of the garment district in New York. So when I found out about the St. Louis Fashion Fund and the incubator, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I could do what I'm doing in New York in a different place. And to discover that St. Louis has such a rich history in the fashion industry, I thought that was so awesome. If you go down Washington Avenue, where our incubator is, you will see on the sides of buildings, like engraved in buildings, like X amount, well, such and such shoe company or hat company. And it's interesting to see that not too long ago, this was a thriving operation of fashion manufacturing. That's kind of how I discovered it. I discovered it through a friend, actually, the opportunity to be at the incubator. I applied for the position to be one of the designers of the inaugural class. I got accepted and moved my business and myself to St. Louis in 2016.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How crazy.
Yeah.
What a big step and a big leap of faith, so to speak. How are you loving our wonderful city of St. Louis?
I'm enjoying St. Louis. I was in New York for 10 years, my entire 20s, and I had a great time in New York. Really fun time in New York. But then I turned 30 and I had to put on my big boy pants and say, okay, if you really want to grow your business, you need to be surrounded by a team of people and a cohort of people or individuals that want to support your brand and help you grow. And I think that was the main goal for all of the designers who were selected and applied for this. They really wanted to be in a cohort that supported their businesses and could really help them grow to the next level. Wherever that next level may be, each of us have our own idea or identity of what we want as far as being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's, for me, I just knew that I wanted to be or live somewhere that really made me feel like I was home. And St. Louis has that energy of making me feel like I'm home.
Okay, so where is home?
Home originally is Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I'm from. My heart is still in New York sometimes. But home for me now in St. Louis is downtown. I live about 3 blocks away from the incubator because I wanted to be close to where I worked and just feel the energy of what used to be in that area and try to help rebuild that.
I don't know if this is a question for both of you or just Ruben, I feel like it's Tanya's question too, but what's the state of fashion today in St. Louis?
Well, I'll start.
Okay.
I mean, in that, aside from our illustrious 6 brands that are housed at 1533 Washington Avenue, you know, there is more of an ecosystem here than you think, or that one would think. You know, we do have sort of these stalwart companies such as Claris, which was Brown Shoe, is headquartered here. Soft Surroundings is headquartered here. But then we also have some small manufacturing companies here. We have Lavaria, who, you know, is doing great lingerie out in St. Charles. And then we also have a very thriving ecosystem of young brands, about 30 young brands here, in addition to the six brands that we recruited and now call St. Louis home, and have been tremendous creative ambassadors for the incubator. So it's thriving. We have a room for growth, certainly, but we didn't start from nothing.
Right. I mean, you had a little bit of something to go off of. What do we think about fashion and the challenges facing the fashion industry today?
There are several challenges in the fashion industry, but that's going to be a thing that is going to be constant in fashion. I think for the most part, it's really telling an authentic story. I think that's the one thing that a lot of designers, some designers are missing the mark on, and those who are sustainable are able to tell an authentic story and be very honest about what they're doing, where it's being manufactured, how do you produce. There's a lot of companies now that are very ethical and trying to do things the right way. But at the end of the day, people love fashion. It's a necessity. To put on clothing, to leave your house is needed. So I think that, but to make it more fun, make it beautiful, make it, I guess, have a feeling behind it. I think that's what I do with my brand, is try to make clothing that makes women feel. And I'm telling a narrative from my culture. I'm telling a narrative from my experience. And again, being authentic is the way to go.
And then I would also chime in that, you know, I think right now for any brand, old and young, the game has changed so significantly. Experience is key. Self-curation is key. Technology. You can't have a conversation today without technology being at the core of that conversation in the industry.
Right. I mean, technology is everywhere. Everybody has to evolve with that.
It's a must. I mean, I started my brand online. Like, I did not have a physical store to sell out of. I started on Etsy.com. So technology was like the thing that I needed to even show my brand and sell my clothing. So it's an important key to today's fashion. People want to see the visibility of you everywhere in a digital platform.
And we're really excited, though, because these items are made in St. Louis. So you said that other designers, they are making everything right here in St. Louis. So that's something that is a really big deal that can be seen in places like New York or wherever across the world.
So we launched a hashtag on our anniversary, hashtag made in STL.
Love it.
And it's all about supporting, you know, our local brands and products being made in St. Louis. So we're very proud of that.
Let's go back to the whole program and how it's designed to work for Ruben and others. So he found out about it from a friend and you applied, you're in. So what does this mean? What is it? Is it a program like a school type setting where you have X amount of days where you do this or that? Or how does it work?
Basically each designer, we are growing our business and still operating business per usual or per the way we do things. It has been education. We have had educational moments. We have had a lot of different experiences that have aided in the growth of our business. But I think for me, and I think all the other designers can agree to this, the most fascinating part about it, the thing I take away the most from being in the cohort is having the other designers to be around. We all come from places of being in our own bubble. I know when I was in New York, I was working in my basement, basically.
Had to have been fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lovely basement.
Quiet.
But at the same time, I think sometimes only hearing your own voice can be, it can be a hindrance. So mm-hmm. I enjoy having the other designers in the space to bounce things off of them and learn from them, see what mistakes I may be making and correct them. From the incubator's perspective and what they do, they've really opened some major doors for us here in St. Louis and have allowed us to meet certain people that we otherwise wouldn't have met outside of it. So I appreciate the whole experience and what it is. It's an inaugural class. We're still learning on how to build this community and build this organization, but it's been fun. I think the learning process is coming from both ends. So,
mm-hmm. Is there a timeline, though, that you're technically done?
It's a 2-year program.
It's a two-year program. So, you know,
however,
I'm going to boot these babies out of the nest in 2018, right. December. No. But, you know, just to contextualize what Ruben is saying is, you know, when we envisioned the programming, it was all about, you know, it's sort of like three concentric circles: business support, mentorship, both locally and nationally. They each have national and local business mentors.
Right.
And then really the big piece that Ruben's speaking of is the individualized support. You know, these are six individual businesses. You know, they from various categories, most ready to wear. One is an accessories designer, and they're at different places in their business. So the most important thing is being, it's almost like we've been a startup in many ways along with them. You know, because we have to pivot based off of what some of their business needs are and figuring out ways to help them solve problems.
And like you said, it being the inaugural class, you're learning as you go too on what they're wanting and maybe for the next class.
Absolutely.
That comes in. So the next class that comes in, sorry, Ruben.
They're chic guinea pigs.
Are we starting the application process? What are the rules and the regulations on someone that wants to come in and do this?
Well, I think we had a criteria certainly moving. I mean, for the first inaugural class, it was you had to be in business at least 2 years. You had to have a certain amount of press traction, good recommendations, you know. But again, Jill, I think it's been a learning experience. And I think we are, you know, we will really look at it, you know, when we start to recruit in the spring for that next class, how we can, again, pivot what we've learned, you know, from the first class, and they've all been so open-minded and generous and really amazing. It's been fun to watch their growth along with our own growth. But what exactly we need, you know, again, as we look into the next class.
So if you are just tuning in, I am joined by Tanya and Ruben. We are talking about the St. Louis Fashion Fund and the incubator that's happening. And for those that may be just tuning in, Tanya, can you briefly explain again what the Fashion Fund is all about and how it got started?
It is all about economic development, but also supporting emerging designers and brands, helping to grow those businesses via the incubator, which is our signature project, which is only a year old, celebrated this past weekend. But then also to promote educational outreach and through various programs. I mean, the one thing I haven't mentioned yet is we do quite a bit of, and the designers are so giving with their time as well, we do a lot of educational outreach. So we have a fashion truck, courtesy of Mickey's Closet, that goes around and does school visits or corporate visits or appears at different fairs and hands-on art activities. But the designers have been really giving with their time. We work a lot with the Lift for Life girls, or you know, all girls, I think, yeah. But maybe not. and they have been really a part of that because, again, this is not just about six designers in one space. Mm-hmm. It's about how it's outward-facing, too, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of the community.
And collaboration, mm-hmm. and like Ruben mentioned earlier, if you missed it, that sometimes your own voice can be a hindrance, and just hearing mm-hmm. those others and getting the advice, that you welcome that.
Right. And there's also a program that they have called Creative Process, where the incubator has reached out to different artists outside of the building, in the community of St. Louis, and allowed them to come in and be a part of the space, and they have different events surrounding that, which has been pretty interesting to see how many people are interested in not just fashion, but just like the creative process of different businesses. So mm-hmm. From food to art to music, it's been interesting to see that that's a part of our outreach as well. Utilizing the space of the incubator to be a place for all artists.
And so, they can pitch.
Yeah.
At the end, you can pitch a project that you can then recruit talent from the audience to help you visualize something that you want to get done.
Right. So it's like a collaborative effort for the community as well.
Is there a website that we can send the listener to learn more information?
www.stlouisfashionfund.org. And that's spelled out St. Louis.
So it's S-A-I-N-T?
Correct.
stlouisfashionfund.org. So if you want some more information about what is going on, stlouisfashionfund.org. You mentioned that the six designers that are here, they're selling You're all businesses, but can we find their brands or your brands, Ruben, and the rest of them in a particular store or just online or just at the location? How does that work if we want to shop?
If you want to shop for my brand.
Well, you're here, so we're going to talk about that.
It's www.demestik.us. That's domestic.us. All of the other designers also sell online as well. You can find the information on the St. Louis Fashion Fund's website. But we also have a retail space at the Fashion Fund at the Incubator. Every second Saturday, we are open to the public. Or you can call by appointment to set up a time to meet with any designer to come in and shop. Or call the office during the week. There's somebody there that can probably give you a tour. I'm there mostly all the time.
Because you only live, what, yes, like 3 blocks away?
Right. But I'm usually working. So, it's best to come on the second Saturday. You get to meet the designers, engage with the product, try on things. It's a really good experience.
That number can be found online, as well as any other information that you need. Remember, it's St. Louis, but Saint is spelled out S-A-I-N-T. St. Louis FashionFund.org. So, Ruben, I have a question for you about your brand and the evolvement of it over the next how many years. Do you have a particular vision that you see for it?
My vision is to have a lifestyle brand. If you don't know what domestic looks like, go to the website. Mm-hmm. But to describe it, it's very colorful. It's very feminine. It's inspiring. It's I use a lot of print. I use a lot of African fabric, Holland cotton wax. So I see that fabric being more of a lifestyle brand, taking it just not just wearing it on your body, but also bringing it into your home. So I envision having a brand that can speak to several people. I call it a universal brand. That's like the name of domestic. It's like the universal brand. Going into bedding, going into candles, going into tablecloths, drapes,
wallpaper,
everything.
I want wallpaper.
Everything. So I don't want to be the next Ralph Lauren, but I want to be the next Ralph Lauren.
I get what you mean. I do get what you mean by that.
Yeah. I want to scale in a way that makes sense for my values and give something special to the world of fashion and make it a very, to have longevity in the business.
Sitting here as someone who knows nothing about fashion, it makes me excited about fashion and finding those designers that actually have a story that they want to tell. I mean, let's be real. Mm-hmm. You want to make money.
Yes.
That's how it works. But when you have passion about it, behind it, and I'm just saying, I'm sitting here thinking of going into a store, just a store, and I see this line that's just made. But then I see this line that has the passion and the purpose and the reason, and I want to go that route. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to learn about. That's, I don't know, you just opened my eyes to something completely different when it comes to fashion that I didn't even think about beforehand.
I mean, I think that every designer, aside from maybe someone that's just making, like, tees to put on like a table at Target, you know, you have to have staples, wants to believe that they have a voice,
yeah,
and that they're trying to say something. I think it depends on whether or not it resonates with a particular consumer.
Right.
But I think you hit on something that, you know, and Ruben said it earlier, like, don't be boring. Like, everyone has to think about, like, what they put on in the morning. And you're actually having a conversation with the outside world. You know, if at least not with yourself, you're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think that in terms of even tying in one of the industry questions, is I think we've gotten away from a little bit, like, the soul and the voice of the designer. And we're sort of, like, in this, you know, fast fashion state that we're in. And, you know, I'll be honest, the Valentinos of the world, you know, way back when, you know, on those original designs, they weren't thinking about the bottom line. They weren't thinking about whether or not, you know, their P&Ls were balancing. They were just doing what they loved to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And I know that can be complicated when you do make money because you have to have a roof over your head. But getting this information out, I see why. Mm-hmm. You're a part of this, both of you, why you helped create this.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. And makes me want to look into what I choose to purchase a little bit more carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What makes your heart sing, Jill?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to that whole authentic part. It's like there are so many stories out there that are being hindered and kind of crushed by all the big names and the big fast fashion companies. But the beauty of being an emerging brand or a small brand is that people discover you. And
right.
when they discover you, they stick with you and they stick to your brand. And they feel like, oh my God, this person is speaking to me. And I thought nobody was listening to me. So that's what fashion has the ability to do. And it's so beautiful to be able to be an artist and create something and have somebody to want to wear the things that you create. And I have several customers, Tanya being one of them.
I have a jolly dress. Yeah. How can I not be?
And it's just interesting to see how my customers wear the clothing. And there was one customer in particular that I saw she was getting she was making large orders. And I was like, who is this woman? I discovered her on Instagram and she sent me an email. Then she sent me her Instagram and I went on her Instagram and I just started bawling, crying because the woman that I have in my mind when I'm designing is like this woman, like specifically the way that she styled herself and she's all the way in Angola. I've never met her before. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So a muse from
Angola. So it's a muse from abroad. And it's the people that we design for, when a designer is designing, there is someone out there who wants that piece of art or that piece of work. So it's beautiful to see that now more than ever because we have technology to kind of connect with people directly.
Right.
It's awesome.
You're exposed. I mean, very exposed,
very exposed
now. But
very
in a good
exposed.
Way.
This.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay. So, man, I want to talk to you guys all day about fashion, but unfortunately, we're going to be wrapping it up very shortly. People that are listening right now, interested in helping or getting the word out or doing something, what can you tell them? What should we tell them about how we can get the community involved in helping out people like Ruben and some of the other designers?
Well, I think that there are so many different opportunities. I think it depends on what speaks to you. You know, I think if it's from an educational component or, you know, if there's something, if you want to volunteer or help mentor, or if you have, you know, and again, a good business mentor doesn't always mean it has to be a fashion. You
right.
have to be in
mm-hmm.
fashion. You know, you just have to know business and strategy. You know, we have our second Saturdays. You know, if you want to come down and help merchandise and work with the designers or help sell on one of our selling days, you could get involved in that. That we have office support. We need office support. You know, we still have a very lean and mean staff. So there are so many ways to get involved. I say reach out, email us, and we're happy to welcome any and all of the above.
What's exciting, and what I said when I first started this interview, that this was something different that we were going to talk about. And I love all of these interviews I do because I learn about so many different things in our community, whether it's a charitable organization to help those that have cancer or for pets or even fashion. The fact that you all are bringing the opportunity of business and money to St. Louis, and the fact that we have the opportunity through you guys to expand our garment district and make it big again, because I didn't know it was big in the past, is very exciting. And that's again why shows like this exist, so that we can learn about our community, whether it's feeding the homeless or taking on projects where we can put money and put different things back into our city. So this has been very enlightening, and I'm very excited for you guys, and I'm way behind you in giving you support and well wishes. So good luck and congratulations on where you've been so far.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Is there any last words you want to tell the listener before I let you go and go design?
Fashion matters. That is my hashtag, fashion matters.
And fashion is a business.
Yes.
You know, fashion is a big business. And we're just hoping to bring a sliver of that back to St. Louis because this is a special city.
That'd be awesome. That would be so great. Well, thank you to the both of you. I wish you nothing but the best. Again, you can find more information online, stlouisfashionfund.org. That does it for another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine.